Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good to see you. Well, it's good to see you today. We welcome you. It's a beautiful day out today. It's going to be a nice, hot June day in Savinol, Georgia. So, do you have some prayer requests you want to share as we get started today? Keep it going. For all those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I put these out today. This is a little track that I've used for years and years. Some of you that may have been trained in the continuous witness training program 30 years ago or so, this is basically the outline of that. It's the God's purpose, our need, God's provision, our response. Outline of sharing the gospel. If you want to take some of these, welcome to take them. It is my favorite, like 2 or 3 minute presentation of the gospel, the verses that they use and all. Well, let's go before the Lord today. Lord, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to pray this morning. And Lord, as we've come to this place and we're asking you to speak to us today. Speak to us and speak through us. Lord, as the body gathers today, Lord, we, the people, the church, the living, breathing body of our Lord Jesus on this earth, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, we do pray for all those who need the Lord today, who have never claimed Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We ask you, Lord, because we have family members, we have good friends and neighbors and work associates who are separated from you today and will spend forever separated from you, Lord, if they do not receive you. We pray for them today. Lord, we pray your protection over us. Especially, Lord, we thank you for the victories that we saw at camp this past week and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon us and all the wonderful things that, Lord, you did at camp this year. Lord, we're thanking you and we're asking you, Lord, that you would continue that spirit, that commitment to you, that daily walking with you in our lives. And Lord, protect us from the enemy today. We ask, Lord, that you would come and that this property and everyone that comes on it today will experience the protection from the enemy and the world and the flesh also, Lord, as we gather. And Lord, even as people or rising right now from their sleep, I ask in you, Lord, that you'll protect them as they come and gather as the body of Jesus to worship today. Thank you, Lord. We give you this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At our 11 o'clock service today, we're going to have a 7-minute video on camp. Really looking forward to that. Brother Gary put it together. If you're trying to get on the internet and you're having difficulty, the squirrels aren't running fast enough this morning to keep up. It's dead. I think the lightning got got another modem. We're up to about, I know, 4, maybe 5 modems that we've had here. We get a good electrical storm and fries them pretty good. So that'll severely limit some of you. I've already seen several people sweating profusely. What am I going to do? I can't get on the internet. And my data plan is up for this month on my phone. And how am I going to get there? So anyway, Brother Rick had to go to Atlanta yesterday. Had to drive his dad back up. His dad wasn't feeling well. And so he'll be boarding a plane here in just a little bit to come back. So I'll be the mediocre replacement for Brother Rick today. So it's good to see you today. Do you associate passages of Scripture with events? Let me ask you, like go to a wedding. Are there certain passages of Scripture you expect to hear? Like what? 1 Corinthians 13, love chapter.
Where you go, I will go.
Yeah, Ruth, that mother-in-law, daughter-in-law passage. Great passage, but really isn't about, in its context, about a husband and wife. Huh? Leave and cleave? Psalm 23. Stacy's a plant today. She raced ahead. I was setting you up. 23rd Psalm. When do you ever hear it except at a funeral? And why do we read that at funerals? Well, for good luck, as we Christians like to say. Yes, sir. Good luck. Yes, sir. Kind of mixing your metaphors there. Okay. Can you actually get to the Bible today without getting on the... Okay. So let's turn to the... look at there. Bobby raised up a scroll. Roll that thing out, man. Let's... Is yours on deer hide? You know, the oldest Torah scroll in the United States is at Mikveh Israel in their museum there, and it's on deer hide.
You know how every once in a while I say my daily scripture like fits perfectly? Well,
yeah.
Today it's Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley.
Hey, how about that, Mikey? You're on top of things today. Way ahead. All right. Now, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to speak to us today through the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to ask you several questions about it, and we're going to read it several times from several different translations. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we pray now. We invite your Spirit to come and unveil the Scripture, this 23rd Psalm. That you would unveil this to us. Lord, not for a knowledge that is a dead end, but for a spiritual understanding that'll be life-changing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. What translation do you have? New American. Stand up, Stace, and read in your big outside voice.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or do. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Translation. NIV, stand up. Please, sir.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
It's the Kmart NIV.
This came from Lifeway.
All right, questions. First of all, why do you think we read that that psalm at funeral? Dwell in your house forever. That'd be a good application at a funeral. Somebody else? Going through the valley of the shadow of death, okay. The comfort that is there. It's familiarity. It's very, probably next to John 3:16, it's probably the, I'd put it probably the next, it's definitely the number one in the Old Testament. People would remember, be familiar with. All right, second question. How has that scripture ministered to you in the past? Has that scripture, has the Lord brought it to you in some, at a funeral, in a personal time, in a worship service, or in some way in your own private quiet time? How's it ministered to you? How's God used it in your life? His living word, this 23rd Psalm, as a guidebook. So there's definitely a warfare element to this psalm. This is kind of chock full here, isn't it? Now, I know some of you are having some feelings right now, of some very personal feelings, because as soon as we started reading this, some memories came to mind. Am I correct? You were remembering some things in your life where the Lord ministered to you through this passage on a level that maybe at times you couldn't quite put into words. But you know that the Lord was there and that He was speaking His word to you. You know, in the New Testament talks about making those groanings that can't be uttered. There are times I really do believe the Lord ministers to our spirit in that way. And we can't put understanding on it, which that's one of my theories anyway, is you can't limit what God does by the English language. Think about that for just a moment. Any human tongue that you're trying to explain and describe who God is or what He does, it's hard to package that in that one tongue. That's why Greek in the New Testament is such a beautiful and chock full language, because of all of its nuances. It's able to describe things in a very precise manner with an economy of words that is just, from the Lord. But even that, it's... Now, with all that in mind, I want to walk you through this, okay? And in fact, we're going to walk through twice. We're going to walk through and see the two divisions of this psalm that are pretty obvious. And I'm going to add another one that Stacy mentioned that she didn't know she mentioned. She's my plant today. Okay. Ready? The Lord uses covenant name, uses his name Yahweh there. So Yahweh is my shepherd. Bam! As soon as you say shepherd, you have a picture. You have a word picture. And I don't believe that you can substitute CEO there. In fact, I believe the pictures there in the Bible are the pictures that the Lord intended to put there because of what they say. That picture of a shepherd. What was a shepherd during that time? protector. It was a very common job. Oversaw a flock of sheep. Was shepherding popular? Were goats and sheep popular? Are they popular in the third world today? I mean, you look at these some of these groups that have gone about encouraging people to help little communities become self-sufficient. They had a project down in Haiti. They've got them in Africa where you can give money. They'll buy a goat for a family. And they'll get milk, they'll get wool, they'll, you know, and then they raise them. You get two goats and you can raise goats. And you see goats everywhere. You see goats and sheep everywhere. The terrain, the different kinds of climate. So this is a very universal picture here of a shepherd. So you got that picture of a shepherd. So the first part of this psalm that goes down through verse 4 is about the Lord being our shepherd. That's the picture. That's the word picture. I shall not want. I'll not want for anything. Nothing that I really need in my life is beyond it. It will be provided for me. How did the shepherd of sheep do that for his sheep? You see the next phrase? He makes me to lie down in these green pastures. Well, who knows where the green pastures are? The shepherd. And he's taken them from one place to the other. Let me ask you, did the sheep know which place they were going to? Very often not. Now, some of them, it's kind of like Daisy Duke when I take her to the doggy groomer place to get her bath and her spa treatment. Her nails, her bath, they brush her teeth and all that. When I'm taking her down there, when we get close to the place, she starts whimpering because she knows we're getting close. Because we've been to this place before, and she knows she's going to be dropped off there, and she doesn't want to be dropped off there. She wants to stay in the car and ride. I can just imagine that the sheep would, at those dependable places that the shepherd knew about, as the seasons went through, as he took the sheep, those places, that they could recognize some of that. But they weren't processing all the information that the shepherd was processing to lead them to the next place. Can you see what that says to us about following the lead of the Holy Spirit as the Lord is our shepherd? What is our culture? I mean, this is something our culture, this flies in the face of our culture. What does our culture want to do? Come on now. I'm my shepherd, and I got a plan. I've got a plan. I give this all the time, but it is a sock in the mouth to our planning. The worldwide economic downturn that took place in 2007-2008 that centered here in the United States. Now, what we don't talk about is all the other places that affect. All the planning that all these people did. And look what happened. Look what happened. So who must we listen to about going to the green pastures? Okay. He leads me beside the quiet waters. What do you have for quiet waters there in your translation? Peaceful streams. Quiet water. Quiet pools to drink from. waters of rest. Say again, Carolyn.
Quiet waters that will restore us.
Okay. Quiet waters that will restore. One of my professors in seminary many, many years ago, he loved, his translation of that was dependable waters. Were there waters that you couldn't depend on? What were those? Let's stop for just a minute. We'll get to those. Someone here has been to a place. Tell us about the Dead Sea, Donnie. So would you call that a dependable water if you got sheep? That they could drink from. By the way, if you want to see a piece of that salt, Donnie brought me back up here. I keep it out in my shop to remind me. What did you say, Stace?
Stagnant water.
Stagnant. Would you want your sheep to be watering there? What were you going to say?
I said poison.
There would be times where they would poison waters as a weapon to someone, right? So it's green pasture, eating and drinking, it's being taken care of. And all the thinking is being done by someone else. The sheep's main job was to do what? Follow the shepherd. He restores my soul. What does that mean? Encouragement. You ever feel like little bits of your soul have been stolen? He restores my soul. The essence of who we are, He gives it back. He puts Humpty Dumpty back together again. But see, it comes on the heels of following Him to the dependable waters, to the green pastures. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? And for His namesake. And remember, the first word in the passage, He starts out with, is Yahweh, God's covenant name. So, and in the passage, where you start, everything builds back on that beginning. So we're starting with the Lord, starting with Him, His power, His presence. And it says, He guides me in the paths of righteousness. In literally, the word there might be tracks, like following tracks. What do you think of? Wouldn't want to say that. Snow. So you can follow someone. Can you, Deb? Can you follow somebody in snow? Deep snow, though, isn't for short people. Right? All right. These tracks, you know, following somebody here in South Georgia, you're following through the woods. What are you going to look for? Those tracks. So, now, does the Lord lay down tracks for us to follow? Tracks of righteousness? All right, Bobby, say it. There it is. Whew. Special revelation. There's general revelation, but in the category of special revelation, you have first and foremost the Son of God who revealed Himself, and then all the signs and wonders that take place through Him. But then also His Word. This Word. And if you don't believe that, go to the 119th Psalm and see all the verses that portray the power, the presence of the Word of God and how it should be in our lives. Okay? So these paths of righteousness. But what is the bent of man? As a sheep. I did it my way. You know? Well, where did your way lead you? Any testimony on that? You did it your way. We'll just go this way. How many times a certain person very dear to me in my life has said, here's a map. Let's look at the map. Say, well, I remember this. I think we can go this way. And guess what happened? All we had to do was look at the map. Got turned around. Had a group on a mission trip one time up to West Virginia, and for 2 hours, one of my buddies, he was on the CB radio with me, this was years ago, and he said, Dust, he said, I think we went the wrong way. I said, no, man, how could we have gone? Well, we're on interstate. But right where those interstates parted, we're supposed to be going south. And we've turned around, and I'm headed to Roanoke, Virginia. Could see my relatives there, but 2 hours. 2 hours of on the CB. Hey, breaker, breaker, you might want to look at this. Finally, we pull off, and what does he bring back to me? You know, I'm leading the pack in my vehicle. He brings something, this little paper thing. He says, here's a map. Here's what we did. Here's what we need to do. Now, does God ever use this in your life? Do that? Does He use other people to help you with those tracks who've laid down tracks? What does Paul say that we're supposed to do? At times he says, I can't remember the letter. He says, watch me. Watch me as we're calling on people in discipleship. Okay. And it says He's guiding us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. How does that bust our culture? Notice what He's doing as He's calling you to follow. Look at all this accountability that's built into it. This righteousness. This referring back to the word, the context of it, and following Him as the shepherd. Verse 4, final verse of this first part. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the picture here is a shadowy canyon. A shadowy canyon, and you're walking. You're walking through, and it's dark, and there, what danger lurks there, in the shadows and in the darkness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Now, later on, we'll see a name of Jesus that speaks that. And what name is that? Emmanuel. He is God with us, who will take us through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a light on the other side. It's not an oncoming train. But we go through. What does that require of the sheep with the shepherd, with our Lord, who's been identified here? What does it require? Obedience and trust. You trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That song, trust and obey. Now, looking back, have you had those experiences with the Lord? Where you know you can trust Him? You know, in the insurance racket, they'd say you're building a book of business here. What's your book of business with Jesus, with the Lord? What's it been like? Has He ever let you down? I thought he did a few times, but he didn't. When the dust settled, he didn't let me down. That's what discipleship is all about. Okay, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What you're distinguishing is the difference between reverential awe, which is fear of the Lord, that's what we have, and then, you know, actual a man-centered kind of fear of something. I'm scared. I am, and those are different things. And I think, you know, my interpretation of this is that he's saying, I'm not going to be afraid of any evil that would come against me. You know, what does, when we get to the New Testament, what is one of the tools that says that the enemy uses against us? Fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear. Okay. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff, two different things. Two different purposes, but one thing. They're the same instrument. What does he do with that straight part, that rod part? Huh? What could a shepherd do to a snake, to a wild animal? What could he use that rock hard rod that he had to do? Could he bust somebody in the head? You better believe it. It was a weapon. This a lethal weapon. But see, he's talking about this instrument that's used. Now the staff, you look at the shepherd's staff, you know, and traditionally you have some kind of crook on it. What would the shepherd use the staff to do? Right. Pull you back. To rescue. So we have both of these. Now, when you think of the rod, you think of, and I know I'm making a generalization here, because you could there's some bleed over in both of these aspects. But on the rod, you think of more of the outside dealing with that. The staff more of taking care of the sheep themselves kind of picture. Now, you can have bleed over back, and I can read you the commentators they'll bleed those back and forth and getting an argument. I read one this week that was, it was a commentary that long, and I was as confused at the end of it as I was at the beginning of it. It's easier for me to think of this, that this is two purposes for one instrument. And as he does that. All right, now he switches pictures here. He says, you prepare a table. Now we switch from a shepherd to a host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. What does he mean by that? Gotta think historically, gotta think of the times during that time. You can't think like an American. If you think like an American, you think, oh, we don't have any enemies. You know, we can just, we can go along and live our lives and not have threat. Nobody else in the world thinks like that. No other country in the world thinks like that. No children in the world, they don't exist, grow up thinking like that. If you're an Israeli kid right now, you grow up thinking what? Yes, sir. And that there are bad people, that there are enemies. If you're a Nigerian girl, teenage girl right now, what are you thinking? The Boko Haram, they may come to my town. You know, if you're a Brit and you're walking out of a pub today on the north side of London in the Haringey area, what might you be thinking? Hey, there might be a guy out there with a machete that's going to hack me to death. I know I'm exaggerating that, but I want you to see that we have trouble understanding this passage because we haven't lived like the rest of the world has lived. We've lived under great protection. But that doesn't mean we need to gloss over and say, well, there aren't any enemies, aren't any folks out there that want to kill us. But look what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've provided for me.
It must be safe to stop and eat.
Yes. Got to be protection for you to stop and eat. Yeah. You anoint my head with oil. What's he talking about? The presence and the power of God. Oil. Oil, they used oil for everything under the sun. But oil, when you see oil, what is it generally a picture of in Scripture? The presence of the Spirit. You see that? You anoint my head with oil. The heat of the day and all the stuff that's going on, the soothing effect of the presence and the power of God Himself in our lives. My cup overflows. There's an endless supply. I'm going to be satiated in the power of the Spirit. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Great illustration that Beck gave us. And I'll dwell in the house of, and he comes back to his covenant name again, Yahweh, forever. So in the dash, what's he's talking about life in the dash, from this year to this year. I'm living here. I'm living on his authority. Now, let me briefly go back because I promised you this and I'll give you this in about 30 seconds. This is also a psalm of warfare. We don't think of a shepherd as being militant, do we? But every day a shepherd had to fight a battle. And those sheep were involved in a battle. There are all kinds of forces that wanted to eliminate them, to take them out. There were forces there to rob them. That's why he talks about restoring my soul and his namesake and walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's one of the main reasons why I read this passage at funerals is because I want people to see that God is the one who takes us through to the other side. He's the one who provides a salvation rich and free. He is the one who provides for the family that is left here, that God will get them through. But this is a battle. I'll fear no evil. You're with me. And knowing that the Lord is going to be with us. And here, even in the middle of this battle, one of the opinions that I have that I think is a malady and a deficit in the discipleship of the American church is that it does not acknowledge dealing with evil, the world, flesh, and the devil. And the fact that God will take us through, that we're involved in a battle royale every day. That psalm is all about battle. And it's everyday battle. Okay. So what's your takeaway? God didn't waste anything, does he? So when we're celebrating here, we're going to praise the Lord. We've praised the Lord already this morning. We're going to praise Him again, and we gathered here and all. What's evil doing? They're watching. They see, it is literally in the presence of our enemy. that we worship, that we live out our lives with the power of God. You know, that's why we say, you know, when I ask the Lord sometime, pray this prayer, stir up the gifts. Stir up our spiritual gifts so when we leave here, we are sent out people. You know, Walmart isn't the same when we go into it, is it? All right. That's it. There's a lot more, but we'll stop there. One of the kids' prayer requests from last Sunday during Kids Zone was, and Lord, please let camp go real slow. Is that not just precious? All right, John, lead us in our final prayer. Thank you.